5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. When I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too feel like the eighth dwarf, or you just want to adopt Stitch and take him home with you, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice currently thinking about or in the planning stages of your first ever holiday to Walt Disney World, and you think it's Donald Duck who wanted to make America great again, well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll chat to other Disney superfans like me from around the UK to share their memories and top tips from their holidays at Walt Disney World. And this week is Jo. She's been going for years with her family, and she's vegan, so she's got some really good tips on where to eat.
I would starve myself all day to eat that.
Also, I'll be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news and events from the parks, and the latest weather if you're heading over to Orlando now. All the essential information for a great time on the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of this secret recordings network. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at PodMagical, which is where you can go with any questions that I'll do my best to answer every Friday on our regular podcasts. Rachel has been in touch on Twitter. She says, is it worth spending an evening at Epcot? We go in November and there's no good live bands on. I think you're here talking about the Food and Wine Festival, the Eat to the Beat concert series that is part of the Food and Wine Festival. Is it a good place to go to Epcot an evening? Yeah, definitely. There's not only the American Adventure where you'll find live bands, by the way. There's live music everywhere throughout Epcot, including over at the UK Pavilion around the back there. There's a band who will do like Beatles and Who and Elton John covers, so they're really good. And of course, at night, you've got the amazing fireworks, whatever they will be. Whenever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Illuminations or the new one or the new one that's coming next year, definitely Epcot is a great place to go. It's a great place to go for a chilled out evening. If you're looking for somewhere to eat or you just want to nibble and a few drinks, Epcot, perfect. World Showcase at night, yeah, you definitely have to go. And if you're going to be there during the Food and Wine Festival, definitely check out the Eat to the Beat concert series. And when it does start, by the way, every week on the podcast, I'll give you a bit of a heads up on which bands are going to be there, like Tiffany or Hanson. Chris has been in touch as well. I've heard, Andy, that Blizzard Beach is going to be closing. We go in October. Will it be open? Blizzard Beach is one of the two water parks that got over at Walt Disney World. And yes, it will be closing from the 8th of September until early next year to do a big refurb. Now, over winter, one of the two water parks will close. They do this every year just for refurbs, but they always keep the other one open. So from the 8th of September, Blizzard Beach will be closing, but Typhoon Lagoon will still be open. That's, of course, if it's warm enough to go to the water parks. And of course, Universal have got their big water park as well that's just opened as well. If you want to go now, have a look at Volcano Bay that they've got over there. One more question this week from Scott, who I'm very jealous of this, Scott. Scott is going to be going over on Christmas and will be spending Christmas Day in the parks. Anywhere good for a good old British Christmas dinner? Well, first of all, Christmas in Walt Disney World is brilliant. Christmas starts on, I think it's the 8th of November this year when they've got the first Christmas party. On Christmas Day, by the way, Christmas Day is the busiest day of the year, especially at Magic Kingdom, when there's a good chance that the park will close because it's at capacity. So if you plan on going to Magic Kingdom, get there early. In terms of Christmas dinner, now, there are a few places that do a very Christmas-style dinner all year round. If you're looking for turkey and the trimmings, like a Christmas Thanksgiving Day dinner, over at Epcot, you've got Garden Grill. And if you've got little ones, that's where they've got the characters. It's a revolving restaurant, so you've got Chip and Dale and Mickey and Pluto are going to be there. Great food in there, by the way. Whenever you go, Garden Grill's very good. All year round, they'll do that kind of dinner. Also at Magic Kingdom, not a character dinner, but you've got Liberty Tree Tavern, that is also very much like a Christmas Thanksgiving dinner with turkey and the trimmings. Christmas Day, I know Rose and Crown, which is over at the UK Pavilion at Epcot. That's the British pub. They'll do a Christmas dinner for you. And I do believe Sanaa over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I know you said on your tweet, actually, you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Sanaa, I think, do a Christmas dinner as well. So well worth checking those out. But my personal favourite out of all those, Garden Grill. I really like Garden Grill. Got any questions? Let me know. Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Let's say hello now to Joe, who's this week's guest. Now, I know you're a big fan of food, but what else is it that you love about Walt Disney World, Joe?
The atmosphere. I do love the food. I do like making the reservations and eating at different restaurants. I've been a few times now, so it's not all about the rides for me now. It's just about enjoying the time there.
You say you've been a few times. Go on, how many?
This will be the 10th time this year.
So you're going again this year. So do you go with family? Have you got kids?
I've got two children, 17 and 22. The 22-year-old's moved out now, so she doesn't come along anymore. The youngest one still does.
She's not stupid. So when was the first time you went?
2009 was the first time I went. My mum was getting married there, thinking it was going to be the only ever time we would ever go.
Isn't that always the case?
Yeah.
Once in a lifetime.
Every year since I've been.
You've gone back. So what was it that after that first trip made you just keep going back?
Because I don't think you can see it all in one trip.
Have you not seen it all in 10 trips?
No, I don't think so. Then it's crazy when they add things on, just like the Star Wars thing, isn't it? So
how old were the girls when you went for the first time?
Alicia was about 12 and Eve would have been about 7.
That's a pretty magical time to go, isn't it? That's quite a good age.
It was a good age, but it was very hard work.
So where did you stay?
We stayed at Riverside.
Oh, okay. Port Orleans Riverside, which is a moderate resort. Where do you tend to stay now when you go? Did you always go back there or have you tried a few different resorts?
The next time we went to the French Quarter because we bobbed over there because they're a shared resort, so you can use both the facilities at each one.
Yeah.
And Riverside is quite a large resort, one of the largest ones on site. And we weren't really that close. Obviously, when we were being first time, didn't have a clue to request a room or whether to, you know, to do anything like that. So we just went with what we were given. And it was quite a walk to the food court. And we hopped over to French Quarter and realised how small it was. And fell in love with the little place. So we booked there the next time.
A lot of people say this about French Quarter, because it would have been a moderate resort. If you stayed at like Caribbean Beach and places like that, you're getting the buses to the parks and the bus will go in a big loop, picking up at like...
Not French Quarter, it's just the one.
Just one bus. So it's hotel, straight to the parks and back again.
And you've got the boat that takes you to Disney Springs, so you've got that as well, which is quite nice of an evening to get on the boat, about a 15-minute ride down to Disney Springs.
I could spend a day just riding around on the transportation, just the boats and now they've got the cable cars and stuff. So let's go back. You've been, well, this will be a 10th time. Out of all the times you've been, is there one favourite memory?
It's got to be the first time. You can't beat that first time when you go. You don't know what to expect. And I think when you walk in to Magic Kingdom and you just walk down the main street and you just take in that view of that castle, it's just breathtaking. To be fair, I still do it now. I keep my head down until I get to the bottom of Main Street, and I still fill up now to this day.
Every time, it still makes you cry.
So I cry when I get there, I cry when I leave.
Oh, I definitely cry when I leave. cry when I've got to pay. In terms of like attractions with rides or shows or fireworks or nighttime experiences, have you got a favourite?
I've got a few that I do have to do every time, I think. I did the Fast Passes just a couple of days ago.
Oh, right.
I got Flight Passes 3 times because I just thought, is 3 times too excessive? Should I get more? But then you're restricting yourself to that park, aren't you? So I just got the 3.
Would you say Flight Passes is your favourite at the minute then?
Ride-wise, yeah. Without a doubt.
Still getting queues of like 3 and 4 hours.
Yeah, I think the first time I rode it on a Fast Pass, I got straight off it and got in line for it again, just so I could see all the things that were in line. But what you can't see on a fast pass, that's the only thing with fast pass you miss a lot of the entertainment that's in the line.
Yeah, in the actual queue. Because I've only ever used fast pass.
Late on, perhaps when the water show's on, get in line just so you can see inside. It's nice.
How long did you queue when you went?
In about an hour and a half.
Oh, that's not too bad, is it?
No,
really not too bad.
I'm going to go. Yeah, and when we did a last minute trip last year, we didn't think we were going to be going, and we got a really cheap deal. So I turned up with no fast passes, no reservations, no nothing, and we just went with it. And I still managed to ride it. I stood about 2 hours. Well, I can stand 2 hours.
So you did a last minute trip, and you hadn't got any reservations and any fast passes.
I got nothing. I was rather stressed.
So how long were you there for?
Only a week. It was last minute. We were looking perhaps for a cheap European trip because I work in a school, so I have to go on school holidays, so prices are ridiculous.
Oh, aren't they just?
Yeah, so we were just looking and we just dropped on a really good deal. It wasn't actually in the Disney World Resort. It was in one of their sister hotels, the Wyndham. And to be fair, for the price we paid and for the location, I couldn't fault it.
Ah, that's the one like right by Disney Springs. So you're literally on the doorstep of Disney.
At the hotel, and literally you walked across the road and I was at Earl Sandwich. It was that close. So
without having any fast passes, were there any big attractions or rides that you missed just because you couldn't get on? Or, well, you say you queued for Flight of Passage. Was there anything else that you'd love to have done, but without Fastpass you couldn't do
it? No, I still even got to it at Be Our Guest. I still managed to get dining reservations. It was just doing it differently. And I learned a valuable lesson that booking it 18 months in advance with a major itinerary really isn't needed, I don't think. You can still wing it and get on and do what you want.
Now, we also need to get your top dining tips as well, Joe, because with you being vegan, a lot of people want some advice on what's best to eat for vegans and vegetarians at the parks. So we'll be back with you in a bit after we've had the latest news from the parks. And I know it's only August, but we're already talking about Christmas. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. There's been some announcements. So the first Very Merry Christmas Party is the 8th of November. In fact, 2 weeks today is the first Halloween party over at Magic Kingdom. These are separately ticketed events, by the way, so you'll need to buy another ticket on top of your normal park tickets. If you've got the park hopper, a 14-day ticket, you will still need an extra ticket if you're going to one of the Halloween or Christmas parties. If you're going to the Christmas party, there's going to be some ride overlays exclusive to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. These include the teacups that are getting very festive. Space Mountain is getting a Christmas overlay, so you'll be flying around in the dark to some Christmas tunes. Also, Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, where they do the comedy. That's going to be more ho-ho-ho than ha-ha-ha. And also, the Tomorrowland Speedway is getting a bit of a Christmas makeover as well. So, as well as getting all the treats, like the hot chocolate and the Christmas parade and the Christmas fireworks and the Christmas character meets, you'll get a few Christmas overlays as well. If you want to get your tickets, they are on sale now. First Christmas Party, 8th of November. And just to finish with some sad news this week, Russo Taylor, who was the voice of Minnie Mouse, passed away last weekend. And I didn't realise this, but her husband Wayne, who died a couple of years ago, he was actually the voice of Mickey, and that's where they met, Mickey and Minnie together forever. Don't forget, you can keep up with all the latest news from the parks at Walt Disney World and of course Universal as well. You want more on that huge announcement from the other day from Universal. All the latest news will keep you up to date. Pod Magical on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. This week's Most Magical Podcast on Earth guest is Joe. Now, we need to speak to you about dining because you are a vegan.
Yeah.
How did you find that experience when it comes to eat over there?
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. There's a website that everyone who's vegan should use if they ever go to Disney, and that's Vegan Disney World. A lady called Melissa runs it. She updates it regularly with all snacks, food, quick service, anything that's available on the whole resort, not just in the parks, but in all the restaurants. And she lists and updates it regularly. And it's like a vegan Bible to Disney World.
I'm guessing every restaurant has got a good alternative for you.
Yeah, if it's not on the menu, you should just ask to speak to a chef and they'll make you enough whatever you want, really. They are pretty good. I've never had a problem eating there. Got a few favourite restaurants there that always give you great service and great food.
Okay, then we'll want to know where they are then. Good vegan restaurants at Walt Disney World. Where are your favourites, Joe?
Well, okay, the favourite one, which unfortunately the chef has left this week, would have been Trails End in the Fort Wilderness. But he would serve a 9-course vegan feast that wasn't on the menu. It was a buffet restaurant.
Yeah.
And as long as you asked for him, he would go out of his way to keep bringing out all these different meals. I would starve myself all day to eat that. Luckily, he has moved to Cape May at a beach club, so hopefully I have spoken to him this week just to make sure, find out what dates were.
You spoke to him? Have you so what, hunted him down? Have you Facebook stalked him?
No, I've just been that many times now that we kind of just chat now.
So all right.
So hopefully on my next trip I shall go to Cape May with Melissa from Vegan Disney World, and hopefully he said he should be able to serve us something special, so we will see.
Any other favourite restaurants?
I like California Grill. They've got a separate vegan menu that's really, really good. Plus, obviously, the atmosphere is great in there when you get to watch the fireworks from up on the roof of that hotel. I like Satori Canteen. They've got a fantastic tofu bowl that's in Pandora.
In Animal Kingdom,
in Animal Kingdom. Best place for cakes is Erin McKenna's, which is in Disney Springs. Just the whole range is vegan. So they also supply some of the restaurants for their desserts. But Blaze Pizza as well, for a quick service, to me that's fantastic value. And they've got vegan cheese, and there's loads of everywhere does great vegan stuff.
When it comes to planning, have you got a particular strategy?
ADRs first.
Adult dining reservations.
I don't pick any particular days or look at any extra magic hours anymore. I don't think it makes any difference. It's always busy, so
yeah.
Pick what restaurants I want. Randomly pick my days, and then pick my fast passes around what restaurants I'm meeting at, because you'll know then that you're going to be in that park at that time. If I'm in a resort, if I pick a restaurant in a resort, I tend to book the fast passes in the morning somewhere else and save some days for shopping, of course.
Of course. Well, I love the fact that you build your days around where you're going to be eating. I
told you, it's all about the food.
Definitely all about the food. What do you do outside Disney then? Anything else in Orlando that you like to go, where you like to go?
We haven't for a few years, actually. We've just totally immersed ourselves in Disney. We haven't. The very first time we went to Sarasota for a few days.
That's by the beach, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, but with it being the first time, all I could think about was being back in Disney and doing all the stuff that I never got to do.
So don't waste your time anywhere else.
No, I don't tend to split stay anymore or do anything like that. I just go straight in and stay in Disney for the whole time.
When it comes to tips, have you got any tips that you could pass on when it comes to planning?
Doing your fast passes around your ADRs. I think also if you've got rides you really want to do, like Flight of Passage and the new ones, try and book them for the end of your stay, work backwards.
Yeah.
Because you've got the benefit of having the full trip to book. Free water at the kiosks. You don't need to keep going to them vile tasting water fountains.
Yeah. You don't need to pay $3.50 for a bottle of water.
No, get to a kiosk, they'll give you a cup of ice cold water. The free dining, I think if you can get the free dining when you're booking your trip, it's always worthwhile. If you like food, of course.
Who doesn't like food? If you're not a big food fan and you've not been to Disney before, I think once you get to Disney, you'll go, okay, yeah, I'd love food now.
Yeah, yeah. I also like to go to the character warehouse as well in the outlets. Disney World merchandise. Sometimes it's old stock, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes I've bought things that are still in Disney World that for less than half price. So it's worth going there and doing a bit of a shop first in case you see something you've already had your eye on for much less money. So
that is a very good tip, especially you've got people who've got kids. Go to the outlet first.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then if they want a Mickey Mouse t-shirt, get them that, and then they can wear it whilst they're Mickey Mouse. Now, there's two Disney outlets, aren't there?
Yeah, there is, yeah, but both Prime and Premium, yeah.
Are they both the same?
Yeah, they're both generally the same. I think the outlet's generally the same. There's one closer to Universal on International Drive, and of course the one just outside Disney Springs. I tend to try them both because they have different stock.
Never know what you might miss. You're the one who travels out with empty suitcases and comes back with overweight bags.
Case inside a case. So with having two daughters, yeah, you've learnt.
Do they still love it then, though, even the one that doesn't go anymore?
I think she's got a bit bored of it now she's got a bit older. I think she would, you know, if we said we were paying, I'm sure she'd come with us, but...
Do you miss not having her with you when you all go?
I don't know. I think it changes, doesn't it? She'll probably come back. I suppose when she has kids, we'll be the ones to take them, won't we, grandkids and things.
It's an excuse for you to go again then.
I need an excuse.
No,
to do
don't need an excuse. Is there anything you don't like about Disney at Walt Disney World? Anything that you're like, oh, I'd change that?
Yeah, the cost of the school holidays is ridiculous. It's just I could go 2, 3, 4 times a year, I think, if I didn't have to go on school holidays. But
when do you find is the cheapest time to go then, being that you can only go in school holidays?
I only go at the end of August because I think all the Florida kids have gone back to school around the 17th or 18th, so it quietens down. It's just so hot, it's so humid, but I suppose you kind of get used to that. It's rainy season too, but it rains any time in Disney, doesn't it? So you can't say there's going to be a quieter time or even a cheaper time. I think Easter, I think you've got a lot of people on spring breaks. First time we went was at Easter, and it was really, really busy. Really busy.
Yeah.
More busy than August. And yeah, the atmosphere was good, but, you know, you struggle to ride things and, you know, getting on and off the monorails and coming out of Magic Kingdom, it was chaotic. So get to the end of August now.
One more thing. If you could have a dream trip, all right, forget money. Right? Forget time off work. You could go whenever you want. You could stay wherever you want. You could do whatever you want. What would be on your dream itinerary?
Ultimately, it'd probably be the castle, wouldn't it? But that's never going
to happen. They have got a room in the castle, but I think you've got to know. You'd be best mates with Mickey to get in that.
Mere mortals like us, you wouldn't get a chance to go in there, would you?
Look,
I think I'd like perhaps to see some of the other resorts around the world. Whether I do, I always get drawn back to Florida, don't I? Yeah, even staying at another resort on site. We've had, you know, all of them, and I still get drawn back to the French Quarter because of the size of it. You don't get no visitors visiting to use the restaurants, so whereas you go to Animal Kingdom, it's full of people just eating there or just coming to see the animals or just going to have a look. And I think I don't really want to be staying somewhere where there's lots of people visiting.
Just your own little home.
Because it's just so small, so.
Just perfect little home resort. Lovely talking to you, Joe. Thank you for all your tips and advice. We'll share some of that stuff on our socials as well. Of course, now I just have to say, yeah, have a magical day.
All right. Cheers. Thank you.
If you're heading over to the parks, maybe this weekend you're flying out to Florida. Lucky, lucky you. Temperatures are going to be hot. You're talking low to mid 30s with those afternoon thunderstorms that you expect. If you've been to Florida before, you'll probably expect them. Pack your poncho. Also, as well, crowd levels very busy at the moment. Obviously, we've still got school holidays. However, come middle of August, it does tend to ease off a little bit. As quite a lot of American schools tend to go back towards the end of August, just a little bit before British schools go back. Stuff going on around the parks. Well, you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy mixtape live is on at Epcot. If you fancy some live music from the Guardians of the Galaxy films, the Animation Academy over at Animal Kingdom, you want to draw some of the animals from famous animations, that's happening over at Rafiki's Lodge. Magic Kingdom is also the final Disney Villains After Hours. This is a separate After Hours event, so when the park closes, there are a limited number of tickets available for this. They're about $100. It varies from night to night. But Thursday, the 8th of August, is the final Disney Villains After Hours. So you're going to get on rides faster. Maleficent wanders round, and some of the characters are out as well. And obviously, it's just a little bit quieter. Meanwhile, over at Universal, Hagrid's ride is still getting its problems. It's been open for quite a few months now, but it's still down for maintenance, usually later in the day. So apparently, the latest I've heard from Universal is that the ride is open when the park opens, but come like 4 or 5 o'clock, usually they stop letting people on it so it can do maintenance. A lot of people say the Hagrid ride is better to be on at the night. Sit at the front, sit on the bike and go on it at night. So if you can, maybe it's going to start operating a little bit later as these teething problems kind of get ironed out. Still got problems over there at Universal. A few gigs happening as well. If you're a fan of the Jonas Brothers, well, they are on in Orlando on Friday, the 9th of August, supported by BB Rexha, and also over at SeaWorld. They've got their summer concert series on as well, which is this weekend, 3rd and 4th of August, and the following weekend, 10th and 11th of August. Keep up to date with stuff going on in the parks, and don't forget to tag us in your photographs. If you're going to Orlando, you're going to the theme park, so you know somebody who is, get them to tag us at PodMagical, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Finally, Andy's top tip of the week this week is a very basic one that you really should know, but sometimes it's just good to mention it, and it's about fast passes. If you're staying at Disney, make sure you're booking your fast passes 60 days out. Set an alarm in your phone, make sure you're ready to the minute to get those fast passes 30 days out if you're not staying on property. And the best advice is not to go day by day. So don't go, okay, this is day number one. We'll start at day one. This is what we're going to do day one. Go for the rides that are going to be the hardest to get. So they are the Slinky Dog ride at Hollywood Studios and also Flight of Passage over at Animal Kingdom. And maybe as well, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at Magic Kingdom. Kind of those three are the first ones you want to get. But get them towards the end of your holiday. I always tend to work backwards when it comes to fast passes. Because, for example, if you're staying for 10 days, when your 60-day window opens, you can book day 10. So you're booking 70 days ahead and you're getting in there. So there's a lot more availability. So do your fast passes backwards, but make sure you set a little alarm. 60 days out or 30 days out. We're here every Friday with regular podcasts. So whether you're on Apple Podcasts or you're on Spotify, make sure you subscribe. Then you don't miss some bonus ones that drop in every now and then as well. And also, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we'd love you to give us a 5-star review, because we have got some exclusive Most Magical Podcast on Earth stickers. Yeah. So every week, somebody gives us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If we mention you on the episode on a Friday, then we will send you some exclusive Most Magical Podcast on Earth stickers that say stand clear of the doors and have a magical day on them. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.